The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, it's amazing what a difference a year makes. If last year, the Yankee fan that was thrilled to have a team that was one game away from a World Series, going through the wild card process, coming off a couple of years where they were building the team up and then getting into the playoffs, making a push towards the playoffs, beating the Cleveland Indians, a team that many thought were going to sweep out the Yankees, getting them to the game, a series against the Astros, one game away from representing the American League in the World Series. Going into this offseason, the Yankees had high expectations. And a year later, this has been a massively disappointing performance in the postseason, losing to the Boston Red Sox in four games. I think good baseball analysts will, you know, saw this series and said, look, I think the Red Sox are better. I think the Red Sox are going to win. But I do expect the Yankees to be competitive. The Yankees weren't really that competitive in this series. Now, you can point out to the Game 2 victory that earned them a split at Fenway Park. But after that, the Yankees went silent at the plate. They didn't bomb out the Red Sox. They didn't use their power to hit a bunch of home runs. Their pitching was not there. Their hitting was not there. They never got the big boost that they needed from their lineup. The Red Sox were just a better team overall. On the larger surface, though, the one thing that we're going to get is two really complete teams in the Red Sox and the Astros, duking it out for the American League. You're going to get some really good pitching matchups in this series, and you're going to get lineups that are formidable. Real guys who can hit doubles and triples and get on base and steal bases, and guys who can hit home runs. And I mean, both lineups are filled with these guys. They're very equal. They're very similar in that regard. They got leadoff guys who can get you on base. They've got guys in the middle of the lineup that got some pop that can hit home runs. They've got guys in the bottom of the lineup that can get on base as well. This is going to be a fun series. I'm hoping it goes seven, and I hope it's as entertaining and thrilling as last year's was, because that was a fun ride for baseball fans with those two teams in the American League, the Yankees and the Astros. I'm hoping it's that way too, because I want to get the most out of these two teams. And I hope the National League, I hope those pesky Milwaukee Brewers get to the Dodgers and make that a series as well. Major League Baseball postseason just keeps rolling along.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we had talked about the possibility that the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs could be unbeaten when they meet in Mexico City later this year. So Ron has looked up the schedule for both teams to see if that could actually take place. Now, when is the game scheduled?
November 19th.
All right, so November 19th. This is in Mexico City.
Yeah, so each of them have five games. in between now and then.
Okay. All right. So this could be a tough call, but let's go with the Kansas City Chiefs first.
Kansas City Chiefs. Now, this will be, I think if they get by this weekend, it might actually happen for them, because this weekend they play at New England.
I can see them winning that game. I can see them winning that game.
Because then after that, they host Cincinnati, they host Denver, then it's smooth sailing. They play at Cleveland and then host the Cardinals.
All right, so if they beat New England, there's a good likely chance that they'll be undefeated when they face the Rams in Mexico City.
Yes.
Yeah, the Browns, our favorite team, could pick them apart a bit. But
that's the trap game right there.
That's the trap game right there. There is no way.
You get by hosting Denver at home.
There's no way they're losing to the Broncos at home at Arrowhead Stadium. There's no chance.
Yeah, maybe in years past.
Yeah, maybe in years past when Peyton Manning was the quarterback, but
not. But even then, you would have. Even then, it was hard pressed because it's hard to beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I remember a lot of those Manning years in Arrowhead, and I know they won games. There was some games where it was like, wow, this is tight. There was one game where, like, the Broncos needed to score like a touchdown in the last minute, like on a fumble, and won the game when Manning was their quarterback. Like, it's tough to go there and win. It's not smooth sailing at all. So, no. If they beat the Patriots in Foxborough,
it's very likely that they could be undefeated by then.
Very likely.
For the Rams, there's a little bit different, because I mean, also remember they're hurting right now.
They are hurting, right?
But they play at Denver, which could be tough for them.
Yeah, Mile High. Yeah, that could be tough.
And then at San Francisco, which...
that'll be a piece of cake.
And then they host the Packers.
You never know.
They play at the Saints.
Nah, it's tough.
And then, Superdome. And then they host the Seahawks.
Oh, I'm not putting my money on the Rams to be undefeated.
Yeah, that one's tough. I mean, for the Chiefs, I mean, it's all about getting past this weekend.
Boy, why isn't that Rams-Saints game on primetime flex? Can they flex now or no? I don't know the rules yet. I still don't know.
But they have to wait till week 8, right?
Got to flex that game. Golly. That's one of the most high-powered games you'll see. You like offense, you'll love Rams versus Saints. That'll be great. I don't understand how the flexing works. I mean, I'm in the business, and that should be odd. Like, I'm in the broadcasting business. I should have a better grasp of this. Okay, let's just say you're Fox, okay, and you have Saints-Rams. Right, and that's your game. And then the NFL comes in and says, we're going to move that to Sunday night and give it to NBC. Like, what do you get in return? Like, what do you get in compensation? Do you get anything? Because what if you're
money.
You're not going to take this game away from... What are you, insane? We got our number one crew there. It's going to be the top game of the afternoon. It's, you know, it's probably going to be the more national game of the second game of the Sunday doubleheaders in the afternoon. You can't just steal it and give it to NBC. What is this nonsense without getting something in return? And I should know how this works. I mean, I'm willing to admit on the radio that I don't know what's behind the scenes. I should know this, and I don't. That a network is like, wait a minute, no. You're not going to let us have our premier game some dog game when the best game on the schedule is, you're going to take it away from us. So I don't have to look at it.
I'm reading about it right now. The NFL, actually, NFL.com provides it very easily.
Does it
when
really?
You look at it, yeah.
So instead of ranting and raving that I don't know this, maybe I should have just done some research.
Yeah, I didn't even try to find it. I just found it. But it begins Sunday of week 5. That's when flex scheduling begins.
Okay.
And it goes into effect during weeks 5 to 17. So that's this week. Oh, no, that was last week.
Yeah.
That was last week, right?
We're heading into
week 6 now.
Yeah, right. We're going into week 6. Okay, I remember. Okay, no. I remember the Broncos got flexed. I was covering the Broncos, and I remember the Broncos got flexed into a Sunday night game. And it was a big deal in the city, and there was, you know, people would say, well, I can't go to Sunday night's game. And I remember going, like, that's irrelevant. Like, you got to, if the Broncos are good and they deserve us, you got to put them on Sunday night. It was a game against Seattle, and they were both pretty decent. And I remember that, yeah, you have to change plans. Yep, you have to go at night. Yep, it stinks. It's a work night. But that's just the way it's got to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, they say here, like, the announcement when they do flex a game into the night spot, it has to be 12 days prior to the game. So you have a good almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, you have a good amount of time, yeah.
And it doesn't say, it just says, you know, the NFL will decide after consultation with CBS, Fox, or NBC.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say, like, Fox get? Yeah. Pretty much. It's pretty much what they say. Like, you know, hey, NFL wants to put this here. You know, you're showcasing our product. So we're going to swap Chiefs Rams out for, you know, Raiders, Titans, or whatever.
I saw a little brief article that they're already starting to take the San Francisco 49ers out of a couple of primetime games because of Jimmy Garoppolo's injury. But they can't do it on Monday night. They have a couple of Monday night. They have a Monday night game and a Thursday night game that they can't move. But they have I think they have two Sunday night games they're moving.
Yeah, this, I guess it says it doesn't affect Thursday or Monday night games.
Yeah, that
or Saturday games either.
You're just locked into those, and that you can't. You know, people buy tickets, and that they plan on going to that.
But see, I think they flexed this game because Sunday night is Chiefs versus Patriots.
Oh, that's the best.
That's a good game. That's a good game to have.
Yeah, it is a very good game to have. I'm glad they have it. Yeah, I mean, listen, they needed to do this. I remember years ago, it was probably early 2000s, they had the Rams and Niners, and it was on a Monday night game, and both teams had projected to be really good. Both teams ended up terrible. They ended up doing, like, in order to get people interested in staying in the game, they did all sorts of, like, contests, like you could call in. I mean, it's just, like, little gimmicks, because they didn't have anything. It was late in the season, and they thought, hey, this was supposed to be a decent game. It just didn't turn out that way. That's terrible. I mean, it's too bad, but there's nothing you can do. You're stuck with it.
Now,
it's hard to make a Monday night schedule when you. That's just one of the reasons why they want to protect quarterbacks so badly.
Now, I will say this to you that when you were talking about why can't the Rams and Saints be flexed?
Yeah.
That I don't think they're going to flex that night.
No, I don't either. I think Fox would want to keep that. Why not?
Not only that, but the Sunday night game is very intriguing. As long as teams are the two main players are healthy, it's Packers.
All right.
It's Packers at Patriots.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good one. They're not flexing that one.
No, you're not getting.
No, they're not getting out of that one.
Come on, they just changed an NFL rule to save one of them, and the other one's the golden child that they keep trying to knock down.
They'd have the Patriots on every week if they could.
Well, they pretty much do. I mean, they have the Patriots on this Sunday night, and then a couple weeks later.
It's good when you root. Like, I'm a Steelers fan. It's always good when the schedule comes out, and I'm always like, 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, 5 games. 5 primetime games. Great.
Perfect. Until you get to Sunday night, and you're like, oh, well, lost that one.
Ah.
Because, I mean, they might have, the Steelers that week when the Packers are at the Patriots, Steelers are taking on the Ravens. That could have very well been a Sunday night game.
That could have been. They already did that earlier this season. Yeah, they did that earlier this year, though. They put them on a Sunday night game, and Steelers got killed. And they said, all right, forget it. They didn't score a point in the second half. So now I'm looking forward to this Mexico game between the Chiefs and the Rams now. Hopefully both teams will be undefeated or close to it.
I mean, if the Chiefs get by this weekend, they'll be undefeated.
Yeah,
around that time. The Rams will be a little bit trickier because you never know with Aaron Rodgers and you never know with Drew Brees.
Back when my father knows this better than I am because he's a New York Giants encyclopedia, but in 91, 90, no, 90, the Giants and the 49ers were like on a collision course to be undefeated playing against each other late in the season. It was, a Monday Night Football. And they both lost the week before the game. And they weren't unbeaten coming in. So they both lost. And then Sims got hurt. And then Jeff Hostetler took over, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. But en route, they played the 49ers in the postseason. And Chris Barr, one of the Barr brothers back when there was a kicker, kicked the field goal. And it was really interesting because he kicked the winning field goal. And then that was the time we were at war. We were in the Kuwait-Iraq war, the first Gulf. And he was, instead of like being over jubilant that he kicked the field goal, he just like went on TV and they were interviewing and he was talking about the troops. He's like, pray for the troops. This is for the troops. You know, and he was very, very straightforward in delivering that. But the Giants and the Niners were on a late collision course to be undefeated, and they both stumbled down the stretch. But what a game to give Mexico the Chiefs and the Rams. That's great.
It could be, that very well could be a Super Bowl preview.
That could be a Super Bowl preview. Is right.
And that's exciting.
That is exciting.
And I think the Chiefs are playing back-to-back.
London is like, you gave us Jacksonville all these years. All the crappy Jacksonville teams we had to put up with. Give them a potential Super Bowl matchup.
All right, how about this? The Chiefs are playing back-to-back Sunday night games.
When is that?
Well, they're playing this Sunday at New England. And then when they host the Bengals the following week, that game has been flexed to Sunday night.
Oh, no kidding. Good for them. We all got Patrick Mahomes fever. Yeah, we got Patrick Mahomes fever now. America wants more Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, they're not going to change. Oh, you know what? Maybe they would change it, though. They probably won't, though, because Patriots-Bears would be fun.
Patriots-Bears would be fun, yeah. Well, there's only so much Patriots we can take as a country, right?
Yeah, that's right.
For 15 years.
We need more Patriots.
I just haven't had enough Patriots in my life for the past decade and a half. I need more.
Where are
Tell
they from?
I can get more Patriots.
Is that team up in, where is it again?
Yeah.
I forget.
The most blessed sports area of the country in the last decade. Yeah, exactly. Interesting. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D and Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us here on SB Nation AM as we roll through a morning on a Wednesday gearing up for the weekend that is the football weekend. It's going by fast, but you know what? It's starting to get important. Hey, when it comes to safety, there's nothing more important than your vehicle's brakes. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are exact fit to your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, and Wagner Thermo Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts and accessories that you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every single day. So, I mean, do people, you're in Houston. I mean, I am so looking forward to seeing where this Red Sox-Astros series goes. Do people think that this team is better than last year, like we've heard in the past?
Which one, the Astros?
The Astros, yeah. Yeah, because they are.
Yeah, I mean, well, you have the reigning MVP, because we can still say reigning MVP because it hasn't been taken away from him yet. You still have him on the team doing what he normally does in Jose Altuve. The only player that's kind of stepped off a little bit is Correa, but everyone else has kind of stepped up their game. George Springer's playing like he did last year at this time. Altuve's playing like he did. But Bregman's the star of the team right now.
Legitimate superstar.
Yeah, he is the star of the team. And Correa might be slowly finding his bat right now, right at the perfect time. Plus, you have a pitching rotation that's better than it was last year.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I think this is going to be fun. This is going to be a good series. This will be a good series. It's just just funny. Just last night watching the excellence of Boston. I mean, it's just Craig Kimbrell gets in a jam and doesn't blink. Just gets Gary Sanchez to fly out,
but
he's got Gleyber Torres swinging.
Me.
And that little arm thing
he's got
he does.
It looks like a spider.
Yeah.
That's all I always remember. Just like, it's like a spider just hanging out up there. I was like, what
is
that?
Annoying. It is annoying.
But, you know, it's intimidating.
Yeah.
You see that arm out there. Be afraid of this arm. So. I'm going to hang it out here and show you my arm.
Ugh. Rick Porcello pitched pretty good, getting those ground ball outs all night.
Oh, who knew?
Oh, and then they
had any good.
This was my biggest thing last night. So they had a home run last night. The Red Sox had a home run. It was their catcher, Vasquez. And I'm like screaming. I'm like, who is this guy? Who is Vasquez? Who is this catcher? Like, who is he? Like Christian Vasquez? I had never heard of him. Where did he come from? How is he hitting a home run? Like Mookie Betts, I've heard of. Andrew Benintendi, I heard of. JD Martinez, I've heard of. But I haven't heard of this guy, and he's getting a home run against the Yankees. My God, why don't you just give him away?
Yeah, that's what's scary. Mookie Betts hasn't had a great postseason.
No.
Yeah, obviously he's probably going to be the AL MVP, but he's looked nothing like it this entire postseason.
Absolutely.
And you got guys like Vasquez leading the charge.
Home runs. Batting in the 9 spot. Oh, it's a home run for Boston. And you may go up 4-0 against this Yankee team. Well, I will have to say Brian Anderson on TBS did a good job in this series. He's a pretty good announcer. I don't see a lot of his stuff, but he's a really good announcer. He was very nice to listen to. I'm not a big play-by-play person. Like, I don't need to hear the commentary. I usually, you know, I have it low and watch it myself. I don't, you know. But I thought he did a really good job breaking down what the Red Sox were doing right and who was shaded where and all those kind of important baseball decisions. And I say that as a guy who has been, I have called almost every sporting event that you could do. I've done auto racing, hockey, basketball, baseball, everything. And I might be, of all the broadcasters on the planet, and I mean everywhere, it doesn't matter, like internet high school podcasts, doesn't matter. Of everyone who does broadcasting for a living, Ron, I might be the worst baseball announcer in the history of broadcasting. It's just not my thing. I just cannot do it. I one time wrote out, I was doing a baseball game, high school baseball game in Las Vegas. I wrote down all the information, and I blasted through it within the first two pitches of the guy's first at bat of the game. And then I didn't have anything to talk about that person other than repeat myself for the rest of the game. It was just too slow for me. I just couldn't do it. I respect guys who do baseball for a living because that is a tough sport, because most of the time when you think about it, unless you're doing the Yankees or unless you're doing the Red Sox, you're doing a lot of games that don't really have much value. And you got to keep the enthusiasm up. Like, can you imagine being the Orioles announcers this season? Like, every game, like you would have to run contests. Like, if we win back-to-back games, somebody's winning a truck.
No, they got to do what the Padres did.
Yeah.
Just pay one price.
Yeah. But still, just to call the games, like, to do all the research for a team that lost 115 games. Put together your stat book. Put together your game notes. Like, hey, we're back in Toronto for a three-game series against the Blue Jays. Let's see if the Orioles can snap this seven-game losing skid. Oh, blah, blah. Drive me nuts. I don't think I could do it.
All right, would this scare you?
Go ahead.
An alert came over my phone. That's why.
You have an alert on your phone? I didn't get an alert on my phone.
Yeah, I got an alert on my phone.
Are you in hurricane country or something?
No, I am in hurricane country. But
that's right. Matthew is bearing down.
Michael?
I thought it was Matthew.
No, it's Michael. Michael. Oh, no, but
listen to me.
Basically, Florida Governor Rick Scott warned people that if you haven't evacuated, it's too late to evacuate.
Oh, that's scary.
would that bother you?
To evacuate, it's too late. No, it's too late. Well, Stay where you are, and just hopefully you won't be dead.
Yeah, but I mean, this thing just became a hurricane, like an hour ago, right?
That's what I was saying. I don't remember,
It was like this tropical storm off the Yucatan Peninsula, and it was like, all right, you know, maybe it'll hit here, maybe it'll hit here, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's a hurricane category 4. It's going to wipe the panhandle off the face of the map. It's too late to run.
God, that's terrible.
That's what it feels like. Like, Michael all of a sudden is just...
That is awful.
So Michael's supposed to hit, I guess, any hour now?
Any hour now. That's what I'm thinking.
Man, it's a fast-moving storm.
That is a fast-moving storm. That didn't even... to me, I try to pay attention to kind of that stuff. I got family in Florida, and I just saw it the other day. I was like, my God, another hurricane. Are you kidding? Wow.
Yeah, they're predicting it to be a Category 4.
Is it going to... It's okay, so in landfall, it'll be a 4.
Yeah, the landfall...
It's going to be like the last one that just was like, it petered out, but it's just going to rain a lot.
I don't know. Yeah. It's supposed to hit landfall today around 3 to 6 p.m. I'm sure that's Eastern time.
This is how I'm all messed up in the time. Last year was Harvey. That was a year ago.
Yes, Harvey was a year ago.
Irma was a year ago too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we had, was it Flo?
Flo.
Your Aunt Flo.
When was that? Florence.
Was it Florence?
Yeah, it was Florence. I'm calling her Flo. Yeah, the one that was.
She didn't really do that much. She just rained a lot, caused a lot of flooding.
Who's the guy on Fox that does the afternoon's news that's like overdramatic? Shepard Smith?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll go with that. I don't
randomly,
know.
If it's not, forgive me, whoever, you know, it's not Sterling Shepard, so I'm thinking it's Shepard Smith. He's the one that's like, ladies and gentlemen, it's a doozy. It's the biggest storm we've ever seen in our life. Look at the map. Here's the, and he just goes to the map and it's this big old thing of clouds, and then they show like this is the size of the storm. Now look at it compared to the state of South Carolina. It's just going to swallow South Carolina up. It's not even going to exist when this storm is done with it. And after it's done with South Carolina, it's going to eat a lot of North Carolina and North Georgia too. So it's got like that's the kind of overdramatic. And so I sort of go, these things will. But some of these. You know, if they're category four when they hit landfall, that's devastation.
Yeah. And it's supposed to supposed to hit Panama City.
Ooh.
It's a nice place.
It is a nice place. It's got good beaches.
It did.
It did. But imagine being like, I haven't left. I didn't pass.
Listen, I mean, with all the hurricanes.
I haven't figured out how I'm going to leave. What do you mean I can't leave now? What do you mean I'm not?
I know.
What do you mean it's too late?
But you've known about the hurricanes too. I mean, like for Harvey, we knew almost a full week. Like everything about Harvey. So by the time Harvey hit, we were like, okay, we know what to expect. We didn't expect, you know, the amount of flooding, the 60-year rainstorm that we had,
right,
or whatever.
Exactly.
800-year rainstorm or whatever it was.
I got the picture of it. So this thing is booking right in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, this thing just
blast.
This thing's like, I got to hurry. I was late to the ball. I got to get there quick.
Oh, man. That's familiar.
It's late in the season for me, but I got to get one more in.
One more in, yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll talk some college football coming up next with Corey McCartney of Fox Sports as we get into week 7 of the college football season. Next, SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the college football season is heading into week 7. And it's always interesting when we kind of go through the year. The first couple of weeks, we always have to go, well, we're only a couple weeks in, so we're only a couple weeks in. Yeah, we're 6 weeks in now. So these trends that we're starting to see are stuff we can really start to digest going forward here in the month of October. Corey McCartney joins us from Fox Sports to talk some college football. How are you, Corey?
Hey, great. How you doing?
Good. When you look at Alabama at 6-0 and how great they are on every side, on all sides of the ball, is there anything that you see that could be a problem for them down the road? Is there any weakness at all to this Alabama team?
I mean, it's hard to find one that you can really pinpoint. I mean, you know, certainly losing a corner out indefinitely, you think that might have some impact on them, but they're just so deep. And you look at the rest of the SEC West, you know, they've obviously already handled A&M. LSU looked a little bit more mortal against Florida. You know, the schedule is set up. I mean, Auburn was unimpressive. I mean, everything seems to be setting up for them to just cakewalk back into the college football playoff. And, you know, Tua has been every bit anything we could have hoped for as a collective college football universe after what we saw out of him in the national championship game. So, you know, they've been awfully impressive so far.
When you look at the rest of the undefeated teams, I think the team that people are kind of discussing to talk about their potential of making it into a college football playoff would be Notre Dame. When you look at the landscape, and I know we still have some games to play and things can shape out a lot differently, does Notre Dame, if they go undefeated, could they get in over a one-loss SEC team that's like Georgia? Can they get into this thing if we're kind of staying pat right now?
Oh, without question. I think they are in if they go undefeated, and certainly, you know, the Pac-12 and Big 12 are going to be left in the dark that way too, along with a, you know, potential SEC runner up. If you're talking about Georgia, if they, you know, get through with one loss again, I think Notre Dame has done enough with an awfully tough schedule. This is the position they put themselves in by playing the schedule they play and not having to deal with a conference championship game. So, yeah, Notre Dame well positioned to get in and leave a major conference on the way out.
And how we have seen the committee do this, where like an Alabama got in last year that didn't play in its conference championship game. In terms of that extra game, if you have a Georgia team that's undefeated but loses to Alabama and has one loss, Notre Dame doesn't play in a conference championship game and could go undefeated in their regular season. How have we seen the committee deal with conference championships and the outcome?
Well, you know, they've always talked about that being that 14th data point, you know, into what they look at, but. You know, from Notre Dame's perspective, I mean, they play, you know, a really tough schedule. You know, they've picked up those ACC games, so you're not necessarily seeing them you know, have a lot of, non-Power 5 matchups anymore. You know, I think just the fact that they play that schedule, and obviously there's going to be times where, you know, the Big 12 a couple years ago when they got shut out, not having a conference championship game weighed against them. But I think when you play the schedule Notre Dame plays, I think this year in particular, it might end up coming out in their favor.
I'm asking you to speculate a little bit, but I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on West Virginia. Right now they're sitting on top of the Big 12, but they have yet to play Texas. They have yet to play Oklahoma. They have yet to play TCU. We know Will Grier is good. Is the rest of this Mountaineer team decent enough to run this table in this conference?
Well, yeah, so we saw some chinks in the armor a little bit with Grier against Kansas, you know, three red zone interceptions in that game. They've got a really, really tough November closing stretch, and so I think that's what you're looking for in that team. They are certainly the Big 12's last real hope, I think, to get into the college football playoffs. So the defense has been better, I think, overall than I anticipated it was going to be, but it's really all about Grier and what he's going to be able to do down the stretch against those really top-tier Big 12 teams. It's going to be fascinating to watch because everything is set up for West Virginia to be really tested. They've got one at Iowa State on Saturday. It's going to be big for them, but you know, it's really all about that closing stretch for the Mountaineers.
Let's stay in that conference and let's go to Texas because they are moving up with a bullet. They beat Oklahoma in the Red River Showdown. Texas lost in the beginning of the season to Maryland, but did they make a change at something or did they do something different or did Tom Herman let his team just grow the way it was to what it is today?
I think he just let the team grow. I mean, you consider the amount of young kids that they have in playing in, real high stress situations there. And certainly, you know, the quarterback play has been improved since that Maryland game. But I really think it's just a team that's just found itself and came together. And, you know, that was a lot of points given up on both sides of the ball in that game. And I think for Herman to hold that group together with Kyler Murray mounting the comeback that Oklahoma did, I mean, I think that team just grew up right before his eyes there. But I don't necessarily think anything changed as opposed to everybody just kind of getting on board and Herman letting things kind of fall into place.
Florida has come off back-to-back wins against Mississippi State and now LSU. They're moving up as well. They're 5-1. How big would you say the gap is between them and Georgia in the SEC East?
I think it's still really big. I think Georgia just has talent all over the place. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for Dan Mullen to get Florida to where he wants it to be. But they were in a bad way with what McElwain left there. And I think there's been vast improvements. Obviously, they just got a huge win over LSU. Things are trending. You know, he's already got a team that won four games a year ago and has them at 5-1 right now. It's a dramatic, obviously, turnaround. But this team, to me, is still a ways off. They just don't have, the way Kirby Smart's been able to recruit these last a few years, just top-tier classes after classes. And I think it's going to be time for Mullen to get to that point. But right now, there's a pretty sizable gap in my mind between those two teams.
Corey McCartney, Fox Sports, talking college football, our Bet DSI Inside Hotline. In looking at Oklahoma, and we go back to the Big 12, Oklahoma, they fire Mike Stoops as defensive coordinator. And however that's processed, however that you want to process that. But if you're Oklahoma, how much of a liability has been their defense over the last couple? They seem to have gotten away with that for a while, even with under Baker Mayfield. It seems like the time would be, hey, make the change. But how much of a liability has the Sooners' defense been?
Well, and then they've just gotten by, as you say, just by doing everything offensively to make up for it, and putting enough stress on opposing teams that it hasn't really bit them that badly that they've been subpar on the defensive side. It's interesting that, Lincoln Riley, ousted the Stoops, and he has another Stoops that has an office down the hall from him. I'm sure that was a really tough situation in the Oklahoma offices. But, it seems weird that they would do it at that point. I mean, there's still a lot to play for this team. And I don't know that making a change right now is really going to have a huge impact. I mean, you still have the same scheme. You still have the same personnel. It hasn't been, on par with what they've done offensively the last couple years, but they've been able to make up for it again just because they've been so elite on the offensive side.
The question I seem to always ask you guys who cover college football really in depth is about UCF. I mean, if Cincinnati and South Florida continue to play well, continue to win games, maybe rise up a little bit in the polls, if the Knights go through their schedule unbeaten and beat those two teams, what do we do with the Knights? I can't imagine we would put them in the playoff over these other teams, but what do we do with them?
I think they're just going to end up in another New Year's Six game. I just don't think it's feasible. You know, I remember talking to Bill Hancock, last summer, the chief executive of the college football playoff, and, you know, him saying, look, we have no intent on expanding this thing, and I don't think they are ever going to expand it until ESPN tells them they need to expand it. You know, they're locked into a 13-year contract, and I think until they get pushed to expand the field, it's not going to happen. And until it does happen, I don't think there's a legitimate entry point for teams like UCF, no matter how many games they win.
Give me an idea, though. If you're in the administration of UCF, is there a conversation of trying to get into another conference if you can? I mean, I know you have to kind of get invited, but does that conversation exist, or is that off the table?
You know, I think you certainly put out feelers. You know, we obviously had this, with the Big 12 a couple years ago, and you had schools like Cincinnati, you know, that were trying to work their way in, and ultimately, you know, they didn't. They stood pat and decided not to go through the process and adding those teams to the mix. But I think you certainly put out the feelers there. But, you know, until there's some more shakeups coming, or there's, you know, something pushed along by television contracts, I just don't know that we're going to see, you know, them be in a position to do that. It's unfortunate when they've played so well that they continue or are probably going to get shut out again. But I think there's the potential there, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Colorado at 19, and I know polls don't matter as much, but are we undervaluing the Buffaloes about where they should be, overvaluating? How do you see what's going on in Boulder?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a really good offense that just hasn't been tested yet. I mean, they've got, you know, Washington coming up, which I think is going to be, obviously the best Pac-12, best pass defense, number 10 in the country. You know, they've gotten some ridiculous production, you know, out of the nation's best wide receiver in Chenault there. So it's going to be, a team that I think we have yet to see what they're really capable of. Certainly it's sitting atop the Pac-12 North right now, but they have the biggest tests are certainly sitting ahead for them.
Corey, great stuff. I really appreciate your time. Hope to get you on again soon. Thanks for kind of guiding us through what we're seeing so far after 6 weeks of football.
All right, thank you.
You got it. And that is Corey McCartney of Fox Sports on our BetDSI Insider Hotline. And don't forget, use WIN125 and get 125% bonus on your first deposit at BetDSI.com. Again, 20 years of excellence paying out winners. Again, if you want to get some action, BetDSI.com. They've got lines on every sport. They've also got it on politics and esports and UFC. I mean, they've got it all. So check it out at BetDSI.com. And also, if you're interested, you can play in our game every week. We pick five games against the spread, you know, just to see what's on a leaderboard. It's a kind of a fun opportunity to test your skills against those of us who think we know what we're doing when it comes to the analysis. As Ron and I are finding out, we are just growing and growing every week, and eventually we'll have our own, like, insider business because we are just getting better and better. We got 2 wins out of 5 last week. I mean, we're just climbing up. When we start going 5-0, people are going to start paying attention to us, Ron. It's coming. It's coming very soon. We're going to go 5-0 and then 5-0, and then you won't be able to stop us.
I'm holding out hope.
I know, me too. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. We'll be back after this on SB Nation Radio.
This is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Depending on where you live, cool weather is either on the way or already here. Before the holidays hit and it gets crazy, take the time to prepare your car for winter. While you can never prevent winter car problems, you can cut down on them. First, have your shop check the cooling system and flush it if it's needed. Then have them look at the belts and hoses. If they are over 6 years old, they really should be replaced. If either fail, not only are you stranded, but you could have a toasted engine. With winter comes the rain, so replace your wiper blades while you're thinking about it. They're cheap insurance on a rainy night. And don't forget the battery. New cars are tough on batteries, and they don't last as long as they should. Unlike the old days, they're fine one day and dead the next. So have your shop perform a battery load test and replace it if it's needed. Hope this helps, folks. This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
At the Jeep Adventure Days event, you'll find great deals, like the great outdoors are never out of reach. And now, not even the sky's the limit, thanks to Jeep Renegade's class-exclusive MySky open-air roof. giving you a whole new vantage point to see the world. Make a grand entrance or take a grand adventure by combining luxury and capability in the most awarded SUV ever, the Jeep Grand Cherokee. And never lose touch with your adventurous side or your loved ones in a Jeep Compass, offering the most technology and connectivity in its class, like the available 8.4-inch Uconnect touchscreen. Experience an adventure unlike any other in a lineup unlike any other today at the Jeep Adventure Days event. But hurry, these great deals won't last. Available features based on Jeep Brand small SUV segmentation. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Based on compact SUV segmentation. OEM website, Auto Knowledge. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Glad you'll be back with us on SB Nation AM. You know what movie comes out this weekend? First Man, that Ryan Gosling movie about Neil Armstrong and the astronauts who went to the moon.
You mean it's not about Adam?
Yeah, it's getting good reviews. I want to see it because I want to know what it was like to when they went up to them and said, okay, here's
when
they
went to the deserts in Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah. When they were filming it, like, all right, I want you to pretend like you're dancing on the moon. Look at that. You're bouncing. Yeah. No. Can you imagine going up in space in a tin can?
No. You've seen the size that they were dealing with too. It's like, God, it's like the size of a smart car.
Like, I don't want to speak for Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. They had to know, like, they weren't coming back. They had to think we're not coming back.
Yeah.
Like, we might. We probably won't.
We hope we are.
We're going to space and then trying to return to Earth. Like, who's done this? Who can we rely on to go to the moon? What a trip. I couldn't make it. It took like 3 days to go to the moon. I'd be petrified for 3 days. It's like being on a wild roller coaster that just doesn't have any sort of rhyme or reason to it.
I mean, because truthfully, I would probably feel better about it now.
Oh yeah,
knowing today, that sure. Like they have satellites, we have cameras, we have everything up there. We can actually see what's going on.
But supercomputers and all that.
Yeah, before then, it was just like, hey, we're just going to throw you up out there. There could be debris. There could be rocks. There could be an alien. We don't know.
I remember watching the movie Apollo 13. Every time I watch it, I remember like, oh my God, look at those guys. They're doing math. They got a pencil and paper. And they're doing trajectory math. I was like, they're in a space capsule. It's a good Lord.
We were so much smarter back then.
Oh, I know. Completely, right?
And then
the guy's doing algebra, like doing calculus to save his life.
But then the biggest cojones part is, you know, hey, let's open this door.
step on this floating sphere
in the middle of space.
Oh, that's great. I want to see this movie. I don't know how historically accurate it is, but man, I want to see what it's like. SB Nation Radio.